Well, kingdom greetings. That's how they say good morning in heaven. You ask me, I say, how do I know? You know, when you read the Bible, that's how it is. Kingdom minded, kingdom greeting. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Ricardo Francois. I was born and raised in Haiti. I met my 24 years bride. Come up here, baby. We're celebrating 24 years of marriage tomorrow. Yeah, so it's a blessing to have a partner who understand God's calling. And here, why don't you say something?
Yes, well, greetings from Virginia Beach. So just a little update. We are part of the network, so that's why we're doing Pastor Swap, because we're always talking about John come in there and Ricardo come in here, and we're like, well, we can't leave, so let's just swap. So it's good, yes. So we see John quite often. Restoration International gets all their pastors and leaders together a couple times a year, so we really enjoy fellowship with him and Carol. We have three children. Our oldest is 22. She's married in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Our son is 20. He's in college. And our youngest is 18. She's a senior this year. So we are not empty nesters, but we spend a lot of time together now. So it's a very fun season for us. And yeah, we've lived in the United States for about 4 years. We moved here from Haiti. I grew up there, and that's where I met him. So we're so glad to be with you guys today. And yeah, just now we need to do like congregation swap. Like, you guys need to, like, you know, come down, you know, get like a whole bunch of buses, you know, or cars, and just like come in fellowship with us. And I mean, our congregation is maybe about 50 or so. And then, you know, we can maybe bus up here. That's something to think about. So blessings to you.
Thank you, baby. And then we're very close to the beach too. So you guys, we do it in the summer so you can. See, I'm thinking for you, all right? But seriously, if any of you find yourself down in Chesapeake or Virginia Beach, you have a place with us, okay? Kingdom family, all right? We're like 15 minutes from the beach, so it's very pretty down there. It's very pretty coming up here with the leaves change. It's amazing. I love it. But yeah, you know, kingdom-minded. This week was very kind of crazy busy. One of our dear brother from the church died recently, and he was very close to us. He was part of one of the home group I lead. Now, I heard on the announcement, the encouragement for you guys to be part of a home group, make it a priority. Unless you prioritize your priority, you'll never do one. You see, it's just like, you're like, man, how do you know you need the Holy Spirit? How do you know you need fellowship? I've learned this from one of my spiritual fathers. He said, well, it's very simple. Just don't take a bath till Wednesday, and you'll know how much you need a bath. Even if it's cold, you don't think you need a bath, the person next to you will tell you, you need a bath. Or let's say you live by yourself, okay? You live by yourself, and you're like, well, I'm living by myself. Don't worry, I'm going to go 5 days without a bath. I'll give you 3 days if you can really resist it. Your own body will tell you you need to go take a bath. That's how much you need fellowship. That's how much we need the Holy Spirit. More than ever. More than ever. You know, yesterday, John's like, what are you going to teach about? I said, John, I really don't know, because I've been really busy with funeral and a lot of other things. But I'm so thankful that Holy Spirit is the bread provider. This is it. Guys, read the Bible. I mean, I hope you're not coming here expecting what I'm going to share with you going to be enough. Or do I have to stay in certain places? I'm sorry, my camera guys at church, they don't really like me because I'm all over the place, you know. But seriously, read your Bible. Do what it says. Do what it says. Do what it says. You remember from Sunday school? Come on, help me out. Read your Bible. Do what it says. And then you will grow. More than ever, the church needs the rhema from the Lord. You got to read the Bible. Make it a priority. You eat lunch, breakfast. You know, you guys, hopefully you can stick around so we can fellowship and eat. See, eat. Maybe we had some little bit of food this morning, but we're going to eat again. And tonight we're going to eat. Tomorrow, guess what? You got to eat this. You got to eat this. You want to be strong in the Lord? Don't just come here on Sunday morning and think whatever the Lord's going to give us to share to you is going to be able to sustain you for the rest of the week. More than ever, you need to go after it. So then I'm like, okay, Lord, I told John, it was about 1:30. I said, John, guess what? I'm finishing in this thing. I got to do this. And then I'm going in the sanctuary. At our church, I spent a lot of time. I'm also a worship leader. I help with worship at church. I love God's presence. You cannot give what you don't have. Have you ever looked at somebody, you're like, man, how come they're so on fire for Jesus? Should I bring it to you? It's nothing special. It's what you call passion. So then the Lord's like, well, what have I been teaching you? I've been learning about passion. You know, passion. What is passion? What's passion? Anybody? What do you think about passion? Or when you see somebody, okay, let's put it in women and men and women perspective relationship. Me and my wife, we're going to celebrate 24 years of marriage. Oh, I'm so passionate about her. But I remember a time in our marriage, I lost the passion. Start getting busy, especially 6 months to a year and a half after you got married. You realize, you know, you're a little selfish. You realize maybe some of your expectations are not being met. And then you start turning your love off. And then what? You lost the passion. Unfortunately, that's what happened to a lot of people when they lose the passion, their passion in the relationship with people. They divorce. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom. And people actually do that to God. They become a believer and they're on fire for Jesus. They love Jesus. You know, they're all about, I mean, I'm not talking about being religious. Some people, they're too religious. They talk the talk, but their walk deny the talk they're talking about. That makes sense? And I tell you, that's one of the reasons the world despised the church. Because lukewarm Christian is a passionless follower of Christ. Also, a lukewarm Christian is the worst advertisement for the gospel. A lukewarm Christian is the worst advertisement for the gospel. Two people in a relationship, in a marriage relationship, lukewarm towards each other, lost their passion, is the worst advertisement for marriage. What does the world say? The world teaches us. The world teaches us, oh man, when you're married, you're miserable. When you're married, you know, we're all adult here, you don't have good sex. When you're married, there's no communication. I mean, I tell you, they screwed it up. It's lying. I tell you, when you're married, you're doing it the right thing. You're doing it the right way. It's the best thing ever. 24 years, I'm still going after her heart. She's still going after my heart. There's a time in our relationship we realized I lost the passion. I hurt her so much with my mouth, things I said, being selfish. And then, you know, she's hurt. And then finally she's like, I'm done emotionally. But I didn't want to lose the relationship. When I realized that she was done, before it was too late, I begged God for mercy. I said, Lord, please forgive me. And then I went after her heart. I date her. And I've been dating her since. Every week we have our date night. We do not negotiate that. We don't go out and eat and spend money. No. It's that time where I come back from work, I go home, and I know I'm going to date my wife. I'm saying this to say what? Come with me in Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read some of the verse. I'm going to talk about understand the importance of passion in our relationship with Jesus. Understand also, we need to come to the understanding of passion, the role passion has in relationship with other people as well. Okay? Because let's say if I'm friend Dorel, right? Boyle. If I'm a friend with my bro here, and then I want his friendship, but he doesn't really want to be my friend. Is that going to work? No. A friendship works when two people are going after each other's heart. Okay? So, Revelation chapter 1, verse 2. Revelation 1, 2. Listen to this. I told you earlier, I pick up my Bible and I pick up my spare Bible. So, I'm lost in this one. It says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 2, it says, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Blessed is he. So, benediction, a blessing to whoever is reading this book. I tell you, I don't know, back in the days when I was a kind of a baby Christian, when they talk about the book of Ezekiel, Revelation, I'm like, oh no, I'll never read that book. Let me tell you this, guys. Go start reading the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming back. Read the book of Revelation. And this is what it says. It says, a benediction, there's a blessing to whoever's reading. So, I'm blessed. Because I'm going to read from the book of Revelation to you. But it doesn't stop there. It says, greater blessing to whoever hears what I'm about to say to you. But not only hear it, but decide to obey. Listen, I could talk to you for 3 hours. If you don't obey, you're wasting your time. I'm not wasting my time. Oh, no. I am not wasting my time for speaking the word of the Lord to you this morning. But I don't want you to waste your time. I want you to make it a priority. What you hear this morning, you're like, okay, I'm going to act on it. Oh, I remember the first day I got the revelation from revelation from Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, husband loves your wife as Christ loves the church. It's like before you get married, you have this expectation, I'm going to get married, this woman's going to take care of me, she's going to give me all this thing. Well, what about me giving in the marriage? Seriously, guys, I got married, I was clueless. You know, people got married, they don't know what they're getting into. Same thing in the gospel, everybody think, well, once you give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be okay, right? Everything's going to be all right in Christ. Really? You read the Bible? Did you see what happened to the disciples? As a matter of fact, Jesus said, listen to me. Unless you eat at that time, people couldn't understand what he was talking about. It's like, man, you guys, I know some of you are following me just because you've been eating bread. And then they got offended. A bunch of them left. And then Jesus told the disciples, unless you pick up your cross, deny. I mean, we Americans talking about my freedom, denying my right to speak, denying my right to do this and that. That's what Jesus is telling you. You want to follow me? You have to deny. Give your right. Forgive when you are right. Man, that's tough. To forgive your father when he was supposed to be there for you. To forgive your mother. And not only that, here you are finding yourself in the position to help them now. And you thinking, where were you when I needed you? That's my story. I mean, I can sit here and tell you tons of story, what the Lord has done. The gospel is real. The kingdom is real. The church needs to get that revelation to realize, man, God still have you here on earth so you can go out there and represent him well. Don't be like lukewarm Christian, passionless believers. Because a passionless follower, Christian, I don't identify myself as a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a kingdom citizen. I was born in Haiti, so I've got Haitian citizenship. I'm an American citizen through paper. You know how it is. But man, my first nationality, I'm from heaven, baby. That's the best. I'm not from here. I'm not from here. So therefore, this is my constitution. You know, when I was studying to become a citizen, they get us to read the Constitution, study the Constitution. I'm like, man, that's like the Bible. You know, the United States Constitution is biblically based. What have they done? Remove this out of it. You're still trying. And then you wonder, well, how come, you know, my brother was saying it earlier. It's like, how come people are looking for peace? How come people are looking for good society? You can sleep inside with your car outside, the doors unlocked back in the days. Now, you won't do that. Blessed is he who reads this book. And those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in the book. So now, go to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to pull it from the New Living Translation, because I find out the New Living Translation is a lot easier for me to read. So I'm going to read it from that version. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined their claims of those who say they are apostles, but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look, how far you have fallen. Look. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come. I will remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in paradise, in the paradise of God. So, understand the importance of passion in your relationship with Jesus. I said earlier, lukewarm Christian is a bad advertisement for a good God. Where do I get that? Oh, Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. It says, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So, have you lost your passion for the things of God? I mean, listen to this. Losing your passion as a follower of Jesus is a dangerous thing. Let me tell you this again, something simple. Losing your passion for the things of God, you don't want that. Lukewarm, when you compromise your conviction, that automatically set the stage for you to become passionless. And right now I tell you, more than ever, we need to be radical. Oh, I'm very radical. You go on my Facebook. Listen, my political position, that's my personal political, I keep it for myself. But when it comes to justice, righteousness, you go find me online and you know where I stand. When it comes to the word of God, when it comes to the weather, summer, winter, fall, I keep that for myself. I might not like winter. You love winter, so we're not going to argue, right? There's four seasons. Why argue about winter? Why argue about colors? I like blue, you like red, so you wear blue. I wear blue, you wear red, so that's, you know. God created everything. Yellow, red, and black, and white. You did your Sunday school. That's really good. Okay, we need to come back with Sunday school. Oh, man, I tell you. Do not reject the word of the Lord. You know, what does passion means? You know, when you open the dictionary, passion is this. It's a very strong feeling about something. Very strong feeling. Have you lost your strong feeling about Jesus? You know what COVID did? COVID killed a bunch of people. Not only physically, spiritually, COVID killed the passion of a bunch of people. Even this morning, there are people, I mean, they lost it. They lost their passion. The more you miss church, the less you miss church. The more you miss the fellowship, the less you miss it. The more you miss reading your Bible, the more you escape, miss praying. Guys, have you noticed? I don't know about you, but for me, it's like when they call for prayer, fasting, seeking the Lord, my body's like, oh. I don't know about you. It could be just me. But that's the way I am. It's like now the real me is my spirit. I have a soul. I live in this suit, okay? But the real boss in here is the spirit. So therefore, my spirit knows what's good for us. Understand? Well, when I say us, I'm not a bunch in here. It's just I'm talking about the real me is my spirit. So I live by the spirit. So therefore, my flesh has no option. And then my flesh, which is in my soul included, they already know, oh, I live by the spirit. I live by the word of God. Everything I do it with kingdom perspective. Sometimes I don't want to do it, but what do I do? Well, I do it anyway, because when I live by the spirit, I live. But when I live by the flesh, does that mean you're perfect? Does that mean I'm perfect? No. Does that mean I always get it? No. Does that mean sometimes, it means sometimes I fail. But the Bible says the just fall 7 times, it will stand up again. Remember this, lukewarm Christian is the worst advertisement for the church. And that's why I believe Jesus is calling the church back to the first thing. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Jesus is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and I believe today he wants us to hear the same thing. You see, the Greek word in this verse, it says, come back It says, go back to your first love. That Greek word is protos agape. Protos agape means what? It means God must be first. God must be first. Now, okay, let's read it again. Revelation chapter 2. Let's listen. These things he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands. It says, I know your works. So Jesus is saying to us here, oh, I see your work. But it's not talking about you working at wherever you work. He's saying, as a church, I see you doing things in the community to bless the community. I see you guys do faith promise. I see how much money you give. Do you know there are people in America, they have nothing to do with God, but they believe in giving? They actually believe in tithing. They think by giving, that's going to, I don't know, maybe buy their salvation. Same thing. They think, well, when someone's dead, they got to go through purgatoire, you know, to pray for the dead. I mean, I tell you, everybody, you have that this one chance today to prepare for death. Once you're dead, that's it. Are you with me? Works. It says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And I know that you cannot bear those who are evil. You see, in our church, and I know I'm speaking for Pastor John, because me and John, man, we're good. He's my brother from another mother, right? We don't look alike. You know, he's tall and I'm short, little boy here. You know, he's vanilla and I'm chocolate. You know, so it's all good. But man, me and John, you know, we went to a conference, that something that really bonded us together. We went to a conference in Texas and they put us in the same room. Now, remember, John is a polar bear. Me, I'm from the island, guys. Anything below 75, I'm cold. You know, so here I am in the room. I've got my sweatbands on, my sweater, you know, everything. I'm covered under the covers, and John is in his shorts. So, you know, we had such a good time. You know, so Jesus is saying, you go back to the things you did at first. Remember when you first fell in love with Jesus. You know, in English, there are only one word that describes love, right? It's love. Well, I love my cat. I love my dog. I love my car. I love my guitar. I love my pedal. I really love my wife. You know, if you really love something, you might add really, you know, behind, before love to say, put emphasis on you really love, you know. But we use love. I love coffee, right? You know, I love you guys. You know, I love God's church. You see now, what God is saying, what Jesus is saying in this verse, you have to know what kind of way to love God. You know, when you study love, there are eight words in the Greek that describe love. We're not going to go in them. You can go find them. Yeah? But I'm talking about the agape. Jesus is saying, you go back loving me. Meaning, you go back putting me first. Is God first in your life? She's not first. My children are not first. The church, God's calling is not first. Whatever is taking God's place in your life is first. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is saying you have left your protos. You have fell from loving me. What is he saying? You have fell from putting me first. Guys, this is not a condemning word. I love this chapter here because, you know, your alarm? Your alarm is not the appointment. Your alarm is to wake you up so you can get ready, go take a shower. Right? Never. I mean, you guys, if you have an appointment at 8, you don't put your alarm at 8. You know, 7:20. If you're like me, 7:15, then you chill, you're taking your time, you know, right? You're not in a hurry. And I believe more than ever the church needs to hear this word. To go back. Listen, guys. Whatever's... Be passionate! Be passionate! Be passionate! Be passionate! Be passionate! Don't be boring! Be passionate, man! I seen those guys, they go to those football games and they paint their face, they go shirtless, I mean, they're like, that's what they do. Why? They're passionate. I say, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, when you are growing in intimacy with the word of the Lord, you're not this gloomy Christian, grumpy Christian. No, man. Oops, sorry. God bless you. No, it's like, man, God bless you, man. Man, good to see you, man. What's going on, man? Good to see you, brother. Yes. That's it. Be passionate. You know, you see people who are not married in the world. They're all over each other. You know, they're walking on the street. Guys, you know, hugging the lady, you know. You know, they're always kissing, touching, whatever. In public. They're not married. They're doing it wrong. As a matter of fact, so wrong that the girl is giving him everything with no guarantee he's committed. And then here am I. I'm married to my beautiful wife, and I don't want to show my passion in public. Or at home. I don't want to hug my wife. It's like, well, I don't want the kids to see me kissing mom, no? No way. I let them see. You know what I'm talking about, show affection. You know, just give your wife hugs. Give your husband hugs. In public, when you sit at church, you know, you sit closer to each other. Show your passion. For those of you who are married, because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, the relationship between a man and a woman in marriage is the only relationship that's linked with the church. That's the only relationship you can compare with Christ's love for the church and the church's obedience to Christ. Don't be passionless. Don't be. This morning, that's what I'm here to tell you. I told my church, I said, I don't want a dead church. I don't want a passion. You know, a passionless church is a dead church. Now listen to this. Go back to the verse. Listen to this. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have fallen away from your first love. No, before that, I'm looking for the part. Hang on. Where it says the lampstand. Verse 1, right? It says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstand. Okay, verse 5, it says, remember, there's another part where it says, remember, or I will come and remove. There it is, verse 5. It says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember. You see, as you grow older in the Lord, you don't grow out of love. Because if you are growing, let's say you've been following the Lord for 15 years and you're passionless, you fall out of love, you know what's happening to you? Matthew chapter 25. Because it says in Matthew chapter 25, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. So the older I grow in my love for my wife, the more we are in love. That's the way it should be. The stronger, the older I am in the Lord, the more passionate I should be about Jesus. Why? Because we have been walking with Jesus. And I tell you, it brings me so much peace. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, the lampstands stand for. When Jesus says, if you don't repent, I will come and I would remove the lampstand. This is what it means. It means Jesus Father and the Holy Spirit, they would stop advertise for your church. This very slow, very slow. It means as a church, God would no longer advertise that you are here in this community. Guys, the best advertisement for any God kingdom-minded church is a bunch of passionate followers. That's what it is. Because when we are passionate about God, God will advertise for you. People are going to, I tell you, there are people out there looking for the real thing. Jesus, don't worry about, I mean, this place is not full or you have like 50 people. No. The growing church, the church of Christ, is not necessarily a bunch of thousands of people. It's 15 people who are really madly in love with the presence. Yeah. Madly in love. Now, there are people, they love the presence. They love to be at the feet of Jesus, but they're so carnal. You see, let you soaking, let the presence of the Lord transform your heart, transform your life, that people can witness. Oh man, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, man, this person is going from glory in glory, from glory to glory. If anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. You should be able to see the difference from your old you, from last year. Oh yeah. I look at myself now. I'm getting white beard. I usually don't carry a beard, but I love to do it when the season's changing and stuff. But it's like, man, I'm getting white beard. And I'm, man, I really love my hair, but guys, I'm going bald. You know, that's the way it is. So I'm going from glory to glory. I'm not going old. I'm going from glory to glory. You know? Same thing spiritually. In your walk with the Lord, you should look at your life last year to like, man, you know what? Remember, I had a temper. I remember I couldn't handle this. But man, Lord, thank you for self-control. I feel like I've grown in self-control. Man, I feel like even, oh man, you know, you're on the computer and all of a sudden you're not looking for porn. Bang, there it is. And when it comes, oh, back in the day, it's like, man, that used to just like a temptation. Now if I see it, I'm like, I call my guy. I'm like, okay, why this thing show up on my computer? It's like right away you shoot it down. You look at your life. You look at your walk with the Lord. Are you growing from glory to glory? Nothing brings a pastor satisfaction. When God's people, we don't have people. You're not John's people. The church, Restoration Church in Virginia Beach, they're not my people. They're God's people. But nothing brings me more satisfaction when I see everybody's going after God's heart. Because guess what? I can't save you. I can talk to you, I mean, tell you like, I'm done, Pastor. But when Jesus come and find your heart open, he laid that seed. I tell you, the fire of Christ in you, you're going to be a bubble of fire out there. Do not lose your passion for Jesus. And we, as the dwelling place, we don't want God to remove the lampstand. Among the churches, there are a lot of churches. We drove this road this morning. We counted about 7 of them. And I pray, I said, Lord, I bless them. Let these people that goes to those buildings, let them be passionate followers. Bring them back to the things they did at first. Honor God in all you do. In the question I asked earlier, I said, what are some of the things that are taking God's place in your life? I believe the Lord's giving us, me first, a warning to go back. To go back. I had a brother, a preacher yesterday. One of my, I oversee about couple churches in Haiti, and we have a ministry school and stuff. And he called me. He's like, you know, Pastor, this is, he's a pastor. He says, man, this is what's going on to me. He said, there's this lady. She's married, and I guess her husband left or whatever. But she came to me. She says, I had a dream. I'm supposed to be with you. A pastor. Oh, yeah, it happens. Oh, it happens. It's crazy. I told him, I said, man, dude, she told you this? I said, first of all, you tell your wife. Right away, you tell your wife, this is what so-and-so told you. And then you tell her. If she ever show up here in this church, you stand up foot. You tell the church, this lady is being released by the devil and coming after me. She wants to sleep with me. Church, help me out. I said, don't even talk to her. She's an agent directly from hell. Because I'm thinking nowadays, as the day of the Lord is nearer, this is the time for you to fix your life. This is no time to be messing around. This is no time to be bitter. This is the time to forgive. This is the time to let go of your past. Accept the word of the Lord. This is the time, I tell you, to be bold. This is the time to be bold. More passion, more love. I love Jesus. And let people see it. You don't have to say it. I want a small, all the glory to Jesus. I want a small business. I'm a plumber by trade. So I figured, you know what? The church, I only see church people. Because, we moved to Virginia Beach 4 years ago. So it's like they drop us in unknown lane territory. I know nobody. So I only know the church people. I see them, you know, when you do home groups and Sunday. I'm like, man, we're like, oh, man, what am I supposed to do? And a couple years back, I'm like, I'm a plumber. What am I supposed to do? I'm just going to get my license. Study for my license, got my plumbing license, and I started a plumbing service and repair on the site. Just me. Of course, to generate a little more income, but to put myself in the community. Oh, I love it. I'm not out there every day. Sometimes I go 3 weeks, I don't have a call, but every call I get is a job. You know, service, replace a toilet, whatever, fix a faucet, whatever. But every opportunity, every home I walk into, I'm walking in with looking for opportunities to pray, to listen. So the other day I got a job. And then 3 days later I went back. Somehow the people, they find out. People usually find out. And then one of the lady's mom, she's like, yeah, my daughter was telling me you're a preacher. She says, man, when you walk in here the other day, I told my daughter, there's something about this guy. And I said, oh, yeah, thank you. All the glory to Jesus. Yeah, it is the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because when I walk a place, I carry a presence. When you walk a place, you carry a presence. That's why, listen to me. God, you need to get out of your mind. Get out of your own little corners. Allow the Lord to use you. Sometimes we're so busy with our own issues. God wants to free you up. So you could become a tool in his hands. That's what he wants to do. He wants the people you work with. He wants them to be like, oh, okay. Even before they curse, they're like, oh, excuse me. That happened to some of my neighbors. They come around, you know, got this little car I'm working on. And they come around. There's one, this guy, his mouth is filthy. And it was amazing. The last time we were together, he getting ready to curse. He's like, oh, excuse me, Pastor. And I was like, yes, I have bad mouth. Excuse me. I said, yeah, man, you don't have to talk like that. Just think about it. Why can't you just? But I never told him. I never said. Because remember, we can't judge the world. No, God didn't. You can't go out there to your coworker. He's no believer. You can't be like, man, stop smoking. He'll kill you sooner than later. You can't tell him that. But you can't jump on their wagon, on the world's wagon. You can't be celebrating Halloween. You can't. It's worshiping of it's worship the dead. You need. It's time to make a bold stand. It's time to call evil evil. I mean, any one of you ever take a walk to the cemetery? You call your friend. You're like, hey, bro, let's go. Let's go for a walk. Where are we going? Downtown cemetery. I'm like, what? Nobody does that, right? You don't do that stuff. You don't go walk in the cemetery. And why would you turn your front yard a cemetery? You're opening up yourself for demonic influence. Opening up yourself for demonic influence. And you're asking why your kids are having bad dreams. You're asking why your kids are crazy. You're asking why your husband can't be faithful. The lack of wisdom, because of it, people are perishing. And then here, the salt, the light, which is the church, us, we're supposed to be making a bold stand. What are we saying? Oh, it's none of my business. Yeah, it's none of your business. But what are you doing? Are you doing the same thing? If you have ears to hear, you better listen. You know what? I have to come back to finish this. But, I think I'm going to stop right here. I'm gonna give you some time to respond. Guys, passion is very important in your relationship. For those of you who are married, whether your husband or your wife is a believer, go after them. And for those of you guys who are married, man, be passionate. Be kind to one another. You know? Express your passion. Go after each other's heart. Go after Jesus' heart. You know, how do you lose your passion? Actually, I'll be talking about that next week with my church. You know, how do you rekindle the passion? It's the same thing. Just like I went after my wife's heart. I went after her with nothing, with no expectation. I didn't go after her for sex, for stuff. I went because I really love her. I don't want to lose her. And I went. Of course, she didn't trust me at first. But then it didn't matter to me because I really wanted that relationship. Until I gained her trust, it took a while. But I tell you, we grew from glory to glory. And I wouldn't change that for anything. We're living a legacy for our children. And in the testimony, I didn't have a good marriage starting with. But look at me now. See, you might not be where you were supposed to be at the beginning. But look at you now. You know, the enemy wants us to always be looking back. You know, I've read this years back. It says, stop looking back. You're not going that way. You know, and then some people, they walk like this.